we're going to do our program on 2012, the end of the Mayan calendar, December 21st, 2012. That's pretty close. There are many theories as to what will happen before, on, and right after that momentous date. The Lyra Legacy Chronicle is a group of three books that seeks to integrate the topics and predictions that we've all heard about this occasion. A reality revolution is coming, according to the author, Judy Yotes. We have her on the line right now from Massachusetts.
Judy, how's Massachusetts?
Massachusetts is great. We're experiencing a little rain, and now everyone is dreading winter.
Yeah, it's about there.
I know. So we have a few remnants of gold and orange and red leaves, which are rapidly falling to the ground, and after that, everything will be little twigs sticking up.
New England is beautiful this time of year.
Yeah.
And you live in a nice place there.
Oh, I do. I live in the Berkshires, and that is more or less qualified as a recreational and cultural mecca, and it has been for about 100 years, and it's delightful. It's one of the last remnants of small-town life, where you some of your towns or villages, as they refer to them, are only a matter of a few blocks.
When we talk about you where you live and everything, you live in an educational place, is that right? Some sort of school or something?
Oh, right. I actually am a house parent in what is referred to as a therapeutic school. And that's when young adolescents have had problems in their lives or temptations, so to speak. And
well, I can identify with that.
They are in need of a little bit of structure and rehabilitation. And the school has a fantastic academic program and therapeutic program. And it's just wonderful being with them because they have such potential. And most of them have an IQ of like 160, which puts them in a very elevated class. And the estate is composed of 90 acres, and it's a castle, one of eight in America, and it is authentically haunted.
Yeah, I was going to get into that.
Yes.
Have you seen these hauntings yourself?
I have not, and I lived in a haunted house in Los Angeles when I was in my 20s, and I
really
know what it's like to see spirits, hear spirits, and everyone refused to come and visit me after a while in Los Angeles because of the house.
So literally, it really was haunted.
It genuinely was haunted.
Wow.
And the interesting thing was, even my dogs would see the ectoplasm in Los Angeles, and they would howl, and things would be moved around in people's rooms. But the irony was...
Did you see what they were seeing and howling at?
Yes, it was there. It was ectoplasmic. It was...
What are we talking about? Are we talking about some sort of...
A figure?
Oh, really?
It was a figure that was basically without form. In other words, it was almost cloaked. You could not see features. But the...
Was it like a shadow person, or
yes,
was it more translucent?
Yes, exactly.
Uh-huh.
But the irony was, because I had never seen one before, interpreted, you know, the presence, so to speak, as malicious. However, the irony was, it would only appear as a warning. When I was in my 20s, I was a model in Los Angeles, and I did television commercials, and
That explains your voice. You had a good voice.
Oh, well, thank you. And I went around the country representing different firms and giving, you know, product demonstrations and all of the miscellaneous things that models do. But the figure appeared to me one morning, and I thought, oh, you know, this is really, really bad. Actually, it was to serve as a deterrent, because later in the day, I was doing a commercial for Catalina Leopard Print Bikinis, and I was working with a leopard. Each bikini fabric corresponded to a wild cat. I was wearing the leopard bikini, therefore I was walking a leopard on the beach. The leopard threw me to the ground, and my hand immediately went into its mouth. It went into my leg in several sections with its teeth, and had I paid attention to the presence of that ectoplasmic being, you know, the phantom, so to speak, in the house that I lived in, I would have known that it was there to warn me about the accident that occurred later that morning.
But you survived.
And I survived, yes.
And
the irony was, they thought they were going to have to amputate and all kinds of things, and that never happened. And I went through a marvelous rehabilitation with the most courageous amputees and cancer patients. And they said I would never walk normally, and a year later I was hiking in the Himalayas. And I was there on a research project looking for the Yeti, and we found the most pertinent evidence as to its true existence that had ever been submitted to the U.S. Navy in Cairo.
You, as I said at the beginning of the show, is that you are an interesting lady, and here in the first 5 minutes or so, we've talked about so many subjects that I want to follow up on. First of all, I want to get to
ask me questions. You can always stop me.
You have a trilogy out, right? What is that about?
Yeah, it's called the Lyra Legacy Chronicles. And basically, there are three focuses. The first book is called 2012, The Fourth Dimension. And that has a focus of Earth changes. The second book is 2012, Plan ET, and that particular focus is our relationship with extraterrestrials. The third book is 2012, Reality Revolution, with the word evolution magnified in revolution.
So are you suggesting by that title that we evolve in our reality as well as everything else? Evolve into some other reality or something?
Yes. Yes, it does infer that. And I put on the back of the books, do not read this book unless you're ready for it. Because the inference on the last book is I think as a researcher, the enjoyment with the three books that was such a pleasure was the fact that I love information, and I can remember if I would pick up a book and I would say, if I have three new ideas, I'm going to be so happy. And often I would not find that in the books. Although these are stories, they're about five families who are different racially, different philosophically, different spiritually. They're all dysfunctional because they're real. And it's getting this information that one family says in contrast to another and how they evaluate it, how they interpret it, and what happens as the outcome. So you have a story that continues for the three books. But the thing is, it's the information. I would say that a lot of the information is not necessarily what I believe, but to be a good researcher, you should throw out all theories, all philosophies, all predictions, and that's what makes it interesting.
Are you saying that we need to read the books in order, 1, 2, and 3? I guess ideally we should.
Well, you don't have to.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you actually could, depending upon what you're the most interested in, but it switches back and forth, so there's always a little bit of information about each and each one. But the underlying theme is probably this phenomenal explosion of consciousness, which is predicted. And it's predicted at the end of the Mayan calendar, which is on December 21st, 2012. And there are three contributing factors to that. And one is the grid. Have you ever seen Casey's map of the future of the world?
You're talking about a map laying out the future, not the geography of today.
Right.
No, but I know I have an idea what you're talking about.
Right. And Gordon Michael Scallion has one that, because Casey died so long ago, Gordon Michael Scallion, according to Newsweek, is the Nostradamus of today. And the first book is actually dedicated to him. And because most of the information, along with indigenous tribes, not only in America but other countries, because his predictions correspond very, very much in alignment with those of Native Americans and other groups. But there's the three factors, basically, that are bringing about this escalation in, or quantum leap in consciousness are the grid, and the sunspot cycle, and a theory called the time wave theory. Supposedly, and I'm not clairvoyant, but clairvoyants and also scientists have recognized that about 60 miles above the Earth is a circular, it's an all-encompassing blue haze. And Gordon Michael Scallion feels that what is going on right now is a replacement of an old grid which had 60 cells in a mandala design. The new grid is composed of 240 cells, and basically a grid is a thing that holds all the matter on the Earth together, and it's also the structure for planetary dynamics. And if the grid changes, Earth changes, and by that I mean land rising, land falling.
Mm-hmm. Just by the definition of it being a grid, being drawn into certain areas or squares or whatever, will different places on the Earth be affected differently?
Absolutely. And first of all,
where do I need to be?
Well, he actually has information as to preferential areas and why, but his grid, the map itself shows that he feels that Atlantis will rise, he feels that Lemuria will rise, he feels that ancient tablets and temples will hold information, especially relating to our association with extraterrestrials, and that the human being as an archetype is not what we think it is. In other words, our lineage does involve extraterrestrial participation. As far as the grid...
So we're all star children.
That's right. That's right. And variables within that. And... the map is very interesting, and it's available on his website, which is basically the Matrix Institute.
Now, do you have that in your book, too?
Yes, I do, as a reference.
Okay. In which book? The first one?
In the first book.
Okay.
And
this third book, you just finished this year, didn't you?
Yes. And it will be out probably in a couple months from the last one, the finale. And I wanted to get back to this because you asked me about the design of the mandala, too, and how it's going to affect us. There will be regions where, depending upon, it has a hub, it has, you know, stars, it's a beautiful, beautiful design. But depending, and he actually did a map of how it's placed over the continent of North America, and another one, how it's placed over the world. And he makes it very clear that if you are in a certain section, that paranormal activity, in other words, the ability to see nature spirits, the ability that perhaps there may be more UFO landings, situations of that nature, and other areas may bring about past life recollections, other areas may be areas of healing. And, you know, it's very, very diversified depending upon where you are physically located within the structure of that particular cell. And the other thing that I wanted to discuss too, Jerry, is that if there are three factors of the grid, the sunspot cycle, and the time wave theory, the 11-year sunspot cycle that we're in right now supposedly is preparing etheric rays for the future, and the sun will actually double its vibratory rate when this cycle is completed. And it's also very similar to the sunspot activity that was present when the Mayans were at the conclusion of their civilization.
So you always think of sunspots and solar flares as being dangerous.
Well, supposedly it is the very thing that is going to be a catalyst for more production of DMT within the pineal gland, which is the third eye, which will bring about a greater consciousness and awareness.
So after 2012, we'll all be walking around psychic?
That's the entry to the fourth dimension. Because the fourth dimension actually is the ability to be telepathic. It is the ability to communicate with extraterrestrials, with departed loved ones. It's the ability to have laying on of hands of healing. Supposedly there is a group right now which is incarnating, which is in great abundance, and they are referred to as the Blue Ray Children. And they are supposedly the preparatory for a new root race. And these particular children, although I have never met one, but I know other people who have, by the time they're 12 to 14, have the intellectual ability of a teacher who's been teaching for 25 years. And they are having a great difficulty in orienting towards this world, so to speak, as it is right now, because they are children of the future and are here to help us bring or herald a better world.
How do these children come about? I mean, are they just born normally with regular births, or we're talking about abductions, or what?
From what I understand, they look totally normal. And they usually choose parents who are rather ambivalent as to their spiritual life. In other words, they're more concerned with the materialistic life. And these children choose them so that they can be their parents' teachers. The other thing is that they can be identified by their eyes, and that is usually that they have almost like a cloud-like formation that you can see, or sparks that come and go if you are focusing on their eyes for any length of time. But probably they are behaviorally, they are a little bit stubborn, they are more reclusive, they're not as socially gracious as we usually teach children etiquette, etc., because they're so honest. They are extraordinarily bright. The fact that they have communication with the animal world, the departed extraterrestrials, I mean, you know, usually children have pretend friends very early in life and then they dismiss them, but if the child continues to speak of things that they can predict, being clairvoyant, then that's another way of recognizing them. But they're very peaceful, and the intention of their presence is basically to herald an 1800-year period of peace and working in harmony with the planet.
Are we in the beginning of that period or the middle?
We are in it now. Now, so, from what I understand in the research, Different blue rays were incarnated earlier. A lot of them were American Indian, and a lot of them were indigenous people in other areas. And they are needed right now to make the transition. They will not be the ultimate root race that will appear later in this century, but they are the forerunners.
Well,
they
what about this ultimate root race? What will they look the same as us, or?
Well,
or do you know?
From the grid, it determines what species will exist and what species will not exist. And according to the predictions, not only of Casey but also of Gordon Michael Scallion, most of our large animals are going to disappear. We will have sheep. We will have horses. We will have, our domestic animals, but they will not be as large as they have been in the past. A lot of our
How about the human beings themselves, or whatever we're going to call these people? Will they be about our size, or
they will be our size? They may be more slender. The head will be a little bit different. It's going to be less rounded, a touch more spherical.
Really?
Eyes.
Judy, I like the way you look now.
The eyes will be able to see in the dark. They will also, for the human being, become a little bit more cat-like. You see, it's not only the sunspot cycle that is changing the DNA right now, which will ultimately have an effect upon our physical appearance, but it's also the grid, and it's also what's going on with the time wave theory. But, certain species, our larger species, now this is something that could be interesting to you too, Jerry. Supposedly, the Earth was intended to be the home of refugees from Orion, and also the Nomos, which the Dogon tribe speaks of as their gods in Africa. Now, the Nomos supposedly visited the cave of the Dogon tribe and instructed them in all areas of astronomy and wisdom and whatever. In fact, it was so shocking because when they were finally approached by two French archaeologists who were able to translate the information given to them, astronomy found that the Dogon tribe was 100% correct. Maybe like 50 years later, science said, "Oh my God, we just discovered this." And then someone said, "No, the Dogon were telling you about this years ago." But the Nomos are basically aquatic, and they were the gods of the Dogon. And supposedly the Earth was to have been their domain, their inheritance. So now when we speak of Nomos, it means things like whales and dolphins. And supposedly, a lot of people feel that the reason that the whales and the dolphins are beaching right now is that they are preparing for an incarnation in which they will actually walk the earth and be the guardians of the earth. And that is why so much devastation is happening as far as marine life.
So we're going to be going into some major changes. And let's get back to your three books.
Right.
Are they available, or where do we find these books?
Well, if you go to my website, and you have to be careful, you have to go to Google, because otherwise you're going to end up with a rock band of 14-year-olds in the United Kingdom who like the name of Manda 2012. So if you go through Google, and you go to Manda, M-A-N-D-A, 2012.com, you will find the website, and it connects you with the publisher, which is Trafford, just by clicking onto it.
We will try to get a link to that.
Yeah.
And not the rock band.
That's right. Well, that might be fun, too.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, we have to hear their music first, though, Jerry.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
Are you familiar with the research by the McKenna brothers of the time wave theory?
No, tell me about it.
Okay, the McKenna brothers were actually
You probably think I'm not familiar with anything.
Well, the things I'm talking about are rather bizarre. But
you said that.
But the McKenna
I find
brothers
them incredibly interesting.
Oh, thank you.
I'm hanging on every word.
Okay.
Tell me.
The McKenna brothers were two scientists, and they were in search of spiritual enlightenment. And so they took a sojourn to Central America and met with a shaman. And the shaman concocted a brew of hallucinatory plants, and the McKenna brothers drank the beverage, and they had an identical vision quest. And
can we bottle that?
Huh?
Can we bottle that?
I know. Well,
I don't know. A lot of people
don't have to go as far as Central America.
Yeah. you may have tried this already. I don't know.
I know. So they both have the same vision, and that was that the I Ching, Book of Changes, was actually a mathematical code. Now, a lot of people play it as a game or as fortune-telling or whatever, but they came back to America. They worked with a group of mathematicians, and they were sure that it held some very interesting information which had not been revealed before. So there was a lot of trial and error, but ultimately, the mathematicians used a specific graph to find the answer. Now, in this graph, there is a thing called habit, and when you go through cycles, there's always war, there's recession, there are times of plenty, there are times of great awakening, so to speak, in the arts. That is normal. That is habit. Then there is an oddity called novelty. Novelty occurs only in very rare situations. We could say that the agricultural, the industrial, and the information revolutions are forms of novelty. And they change the world forevermore. There is also, as a major conclusion, an item in a mathematical chart called singularity. Singularity is like the epoch, it is the zenith, it is the ultimate point. And all of the mathematicians came up with the same answer. The time of singularity is the end of the Mayan calendar, December 21st, 2012. So by doing this graph, this is what they surmised. There will be 61 major revolutions as major as the agricultural, industrial, and information age that have just started to happen now because of the change in the sunspot cycle. And the birth of this sunspot cycle was unlike any other because it was born in reverse. And I can't tell you the direction that they're usually born because I can't remember everything that I wrote about. But there's a lot of science. There's a lot of quantum physics in the books.
We need to urge people to get all three of those books and read them. And can they go to a bookstore and get this, or only through your website?
Well, they're actually sold on Amazon, too.
Okay, it's on
Amazon. But then you'd have to know the titles of each one.
Can you give those to me?
Yeah, it's 2012, The Fourth Dimension, 2012, Plan ET, and the third one hasn't been published, but that's the best one. Oh, and we've got to talk about that one because that's really unusual. And that is 2012, Reality Revolution. I write under, with my son and daughter, a pseudonym, and the pseudonym is Manda. And Manda is an ancient Aramaic name, which means knowledge. And the reason why we didn't put our names on the books is because we are quoting innumerable scientists, clairvoyants, myths, you name it. It is a total conglomerate of all that could be before, on, and after 2012, and you make up your own mind.